Scripture says that God our Savior desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. But what is the truth? And how do we gain that knowledge? The answer to these questions and more in today's edition of Faith with Father. Living Bread Radio presents Faith with Father, a program aimed at teaching today's culture the truth about the Catholic faith. And now here's your host, Tim Perry.
Hello, and welcome to this edition of Faith with Father. I'm your host, Tim Perry, and with me today in studio is Father Michael Denk, currently the parochial vicar of St. Joseph Parish in Amherst. Welcome, Father.
Thank you, Tim. Great to be here with you at Living Bread Radio.
Yep. We've had a good week, and today we're going to talk about the Creed again, as being explained in the UCAT, the Youth Catechism of the Catholic Church. And the Creed says that Jesus will come to judge the living and the dead. So do we know how Jesus will come back into the world, and what will that be like?
Wait a minute, I don't know if I like this part. Jesus will, what was that, Tim?
Judge the living and the dead.
He'll judge the living and the dead. Yeah, so that's a part that I think that we kind of are quick to gloss over, that Jesus is the ultimate judge. You know, he will judge the living and the dead at the end of time. So at some point in our lives, you know, you could be as proud as you want, or you could have any kind of, you could believe what you want in this world, but ultimately, you're going to come before the just judge. Ultimately, you and I, at some point, are going to, you know, as they say, have to face our Maker, have to come before God, and come before Christ as the just judge. So we do believe that he is the judge, and that when the world comes to an end, he will judge. He will judge the world in each and every one of us individually.
And isn't it true at the end of our life that we will stand before God and have to give an account of what we did as well as what we didn't do?
Yeah, so, you know, and there's a couple ways of looking at this. First of all, it should shake us, all right? So if we're doing things that we shouldn't be doing, or not living a life that God desires us to live, this should shake us to the core. You know, hearing this should shake us to the point where we desire conversion. We desire to live the lives that we live. Mm-hmm. The other side of this is a wonderful thing, because could you imagine being with Jesus and him going through your life with you and helping you see the goodness that you've done? You know, the wonderful, could you just imagine Jesus delighting with you and saying, look at this, look at what you did with me. Mm-hmm. How wonderful that would be, just knowing that it's at some point he's gonna review it all with us. And he's also gonna help us make sense of some of the things that we don't understand right now. You know, why things happen to us, why bad things happen to good people. He's going to go through it all with us and help us to kind of understand that. So in some ways that should disturb us, but also it should bring us great consolation and great comfort as well.
I think it's also important to point out that Jesus is the judge and that we shouldn't judge. I debated a Protestant minister 3 times publicly, and he felt that because I was a Catholic, mm-hmm. the simple fact that I am a Catholic, that I was going to hell.
Yeah.
And it's hard to believe, but there's a lot of people to this day, in this day and age, that believe that because you're a Catholic, you're going to hell. And I always used to say to him, I am so glad that Jesus is my judge and not you.
Right, right.
But again, that brings
up
the
But Tim, you got some experience of what that's like to be judged by somebody, right? I mean, that's a...
I don't like it.
I mean, nobody likes that, right? And right. Talk about righteous, right? You're going to hell because you're a Catholic. So I think we too should be careful of judging other people and condemning mm-hmm. them, because ultimately we're not the judge. Christ is the judge, and he's a just judge, you know? So it's... Yeah, we cannot see the hearts or read the hearts and know the hearts and minds of people. Ultimately, we leave that up to Christ.
And you make another great point, Father, is not only are we going to account for the things that we didn't do or the sins that we did commit, but Jesus is going to delight with us in all the good things that we did and yeah. that he was there with us. That's a great image in my mind, to think of some of the little things that probably I know I've forgotten that I did mm-hmm. earlier in my life, that I just did it because that's the way my mom and dad taught me, or because God is love and he's with me, I did some things maybe that I normally wouldn't have done to help somebody or to do good
to
others.
Yeah, could you just, I mean, he does delight in that, right? He does delight when we are being the children he's created us to be. And I think the same thing, too, with sin, you know. Maybe he'll go through the things with us and help us see, you know, what was going on that you would do something like that, you know? Mm-hmm. That's like a good parent or a good counselor, a good anybody that would sit down with us and help us to see why we did the things that we did. And maybe we'll say, man, I can't believe I did. I'm sorry, Lord. You know, mm-hmm. And at that moment it becomes salvific because it becomes a penitential, you know? And even mm-hmm. that is taken with just such love. I'm sorry, Lord.
Mm-hmm. So question 112 asks, Father, what will it be like when Christ judges us and the whole world? What's that going to be like, and how will Jesus judge us?
Well, so what we do know is that there will be a judgment. There will be a judgment day, and he will judge not only us, but the entire world will come before him. And so the UCAT says, even Christ cannot help someone who does not want to know anything about love. Such a person judges himself. So I can't judge another heart. You can't judge another heart. But Christ does, and we can. We can condemn ourselves. You know, so we can, in all freedom, reject love. You know, and there are some people, I'm sure, that you've seen that say, and maybe they've been hurt so bad that they don't even want to give it a chance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I think the wonderful thing is that as Christ did, you know, one of his miracles, the resurrection, he came through the locked doors. I know he can come even through a locked heart, you know, and enter even into a locked heart. But ultimately, the last judgment is not so much about Christ judging or condemning. It's ultimately going to be that person realizing themselves that I turn from love. I condemn myself. I've turned from. I don't want this great gift.
Mm-hmm. So, as St. John of the Cross said, in the end, we will be judged by love.
Yeah.
Isn't that a great
quote?
That's
an amazing. We'll be judged by love. And, you know, it is almost like when you're with love, when you're with somebody that loves you, you know, so maybe you've done something wrong. And, you know, think about a husband and a wife. And the husband goes off, and maybe he does something really bad and really foolish, okay? And he comes home to his wife, and he sees her face, and he sees her smile, and all of a sudden he realizes, what did I do? You know, and he's judged not by her even, but just by her love, you know, and the love that he has kind of taken for granted. You know, I think the same is true with us and God, that he loves us so much. He looks with us with such great love that the judgment will be the realizing of how we have kind of squandered that love.
Okay. So we're talking about judgment and the end times and the end of the world. Let's take a few minutes and explain why, as Catholics, we don't believe in the rapture and why this teaching isn't taught by the Church.
So, all right, basically, the whole idea with the rapture, if you're not familiar with it, it kind of became popular by the Left Behind books. So there's a whole series, and I don't want to publicize these books at all because they've been publicized enough, but there's over 57 million copies of these books that have been sold. Okay, so they are one of the bestseller of Christian literature right now. The problem with that is they're heresy. You know, they're filled with a complete twisting of everything that we know to be good and true and holy about what we would know is the rapture. So they've taken this phrase from Scripture and kind of twisted it with a whole theology against anything that we would believe in terms of our being drawn up and caught up into the love of Christ at the end of time. So that's ultimately what the rapture is.
But doesn't that theology also profess Christ coming three times? He'd have to come three
times. Right, right. Mm-hmm. Three times, and then they also put it on a timeline, like 1,000 years, and the rapture's supposed to be happening right now. And of course, by the way, all Catholics are going to be left behind in the rapture. You know, so the book is written, the whole series is written with a very anti-Catholic stance.
Yeah.
You know, so it's really a disturbing notion, and it's kind of perplexed me why people are getting so caught up, you know, in this Left Behind series. I think it plays on that whole notion of, I mean, that's all of our fear, right? Being left behind or left out or left. But what I do want to do is just read what the Catechism does say about the end of time. So 4 points I want to make real quick. Catechism 673 through 677. First is, the end of times, this final moment of rapture. And so, Tim, you got a Bible? Do we have a Bible with you? Because it's 1 Thessalonians 4:15-17. I'll look that up real quick. But first of all, the full number of Gentiles must come into the church. So that's one of the things, first of all, that we know from Revelation. All of the Gentiles must first come into the church. So, Tim, how soon do you think that's happening? So all unbelievers, so a Gentile is somebody that does not have faith or an unbeliever, they first must all come into the church.
I don't think it's ever going to happen.
Well, hopefully it will. I mean, that's the final coming. The second one is the full inclusion of the Jews in the Messiah's salvation in the wake of the full number of Gentiles. So first the Gentiles will be drawn in, and then after that, the full number of Jews will be drawn in together. So there will be being united with all of our brothers and sisters, the Jewish faith as well. So that's the second one. The third is that there will be a final trial of the church in the form of a religious deception offering men an apparent solution. So this is important. There will be a final trial of the church in the form of a religious deception offering men an apparent solution to their problems at the price of the apostasy of truth. That kind of sounds like it happens right now. So I'm going to give you a solution, but in order for this to work, you got to deny the truth. And ultimately, that supreme deception, that's the Antichrist. The Antichrist is the deceiver. And then fourth, Christ's victory over this final unleashing of evil through a cosmic upheaval of the passing world in the last judgment. So we're going to have this cosmic upheaval as love triumphs and conquers over justice.
So that quote was in 1 Thessalonians, and I think that's
let's see, verse 15 to 17. So it is this right here, okay. For those who declare to you by the word of the Lord that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, shall not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from the heaven with a cry of a command, with the archangel's call, and with the sound of a trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, listen to this, comfort one another with these words. The rapture, I mean, the authentic coming together in Christ ought to be a comfort to us because we're all going to be drawn in together. And so this whole notion of left behind, this whole left behind series, this whole notion that you're left behind because you're a Catholic is talk about buying into untruth. You know, it's completely untruthful.
Well, again, I think it's important to reiterate what the Catholic Church does teach is that we are only saved by the grace of Jesus Christ. It's the only way to heaven.
He is the way, the truth, and the life.
So if we're in a state of grace, and if we have a relationship and a love for our Lord, and we're striving to do our best to follow him, we don't have to worry not only about being left behind, but about getting to heaven, because that's how we get to heaven.
And he is heaven, right? He is the gate. And not only is he the gate, but he is heaven itself. So that should be our comfort. You know, so if you do know the Lord, if you are practicing your faith, if you're praying daily, if you're experiencing the sacramental life of the church, if you go to confession every once in a while, if you go to church and receive the Eucharist, you're there. You know, we're experiencing already this entrance into life eternal.
Well said, Father. You've been listening to Father Michael Denk, and this is Tim Perry, your host on Faith with Father on Living Bread Radio. Until next time, may God bless you and yours. Bye for now.
This has been Faith with Father, a production of Living Bread Radio in Canton, Ohio. For an audio archive of this program, log on to livingbreadradio.com and click on Faith with Father. If you have a question or comment about today's program, email us at askfather@livingbreadradio.com. And join us again next time for another edition of Faith with Father.